Welcome to Gleaming the Tube, the podcast where Kevin and Mike watch a film in which somebody rides a skateboard at some point. Finally, a podcast where people talk about movies.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Kevin.
2007's Hot Rod tells the story of aspiring stuntman Rod Kimball, played by Andy Samberg, and his attempts to pull off his most impressive stunt yet to help raise money to save his stepfather, played by Ian McShane. And Michael and I watched this movie, and also watching this movie with us was our pal Guy Benoit. Hello, Guy.
Hello, Kevin and Michael.
Hello.
There's a relatively hefty amount of skateboarding and skateboarding related material in this. Bill Hader has have you seen him shirt?
Yes.
He goes down the hill on the modified skateboard with whiskey.
Which whiskey? That's right. Yes.
Whiskey. One of the guys has the shoes with the little wheels.
He's got the heels in the shoes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of wheeled action.
Yeah. Yes. There's a lot of wheeled action. So I just feel this is very deserving.
Bill Hader rides a skateboard while his character is tripping on LSD.
Yeah. That's true.
See you later, Mountain Face.
There's a lot. So I hadn't seen this until I watched it for this episode of Gleaming the Tube, but I know both of you had.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, I just watched it again not an hour ago.
So, Guy, when did you first encounter Hot Rod?
I probably encountered Hot Rod a few years after it came out because it got such staggeringly bad reviews that I just didn't see it. I didn't see it in the theater, and I didn't see it, on whatever, DVD or whatnot. And I don't know what it was. It couldn't have been my curiosity getting the better of me because I wasn't really curious about it, but I just wound up watching it, I think because it had people from Saturday Night Live in it who I like Bill Hader and Samberg. And I watched it and I thought it was a masterpiece. It's really, really well done. It's not flawless, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And it got me thinking about these movies that are just big swings and misses with critics. And this is, to me, a great example of that, where it's a movie that was really, really interesting how it approached everything. And I think it came out 3 years after Napoleon Dynamite, and it sort of exists in that kids who are hitting, you know, their maybe early adolescence in the 80s, and you know, they're very different movies, but I think everyone was so hung on Napoleon Dynamite that they gave Hot Rod short shrift. And Hot Rod is a wonderful movie. It's hilarious,
right? I remember, you know, seeing the preview and just being like, well, I'm gonna go see that movie because it's exactly in my wheelhouse. I love a silly comedy, and I admit that I have a pretty low, you know, I'm an easy laugh, so I'm going to, like, you know, if Will Ferrell is yelling about something, I'm just going to laugh because I think it's funny. And I remember seeing this movie and thinking that it exceeded even, you know, like I had pretty low expectations. And there's a charm to it and a silliness to it that I really respond to that. Mm-hmm. That kind of like, and I also, you know what I like about the movie? It's not mean.
No, not at all.
You know, I think a lot of times silly or stupid comedies tend to lean really hard on like the characters are mean to each other or dismissive in some way. And that's what I liked about this movie. It's not a mean-spirited movie at all. They're all trying to help, you know, they're all, right. Yeah.
I don't find the movie mean, but I do find the movie like vaguely confrontational in that it does not seem to care if you like it or not.
Right. Yeah. They are making this movie and you can watch it or not watch it.
Which I found like interesting while watching it. And I think I'd read Pam Brady, who was like a South Park writer, wrote this with Will Ferrell in mind. And Will Ferrell, I think, passed for whatever reason. I think he thought he was too old to play the part at that point.
Yeah.
And Lorne Michaels gave it to the Lonely Island guys who were, you know, starting to gain traction on Saturday Night Live, that you know, that Lazy Sunday video.
Oh, that was a phenomenon.
A monstrously popular Saturday Night Live skits. That was like one of the first big YouTube things people shared around. Like it premiered like right when YouTube was something that was gaining a lot of traction. And I think like from reading interviews with the Lonely Island guys, they seem to think like, well, we're going to make this movie and it's not going to do well and critics are going to hate it, but it's going to be like The Jerk where, you know, kids are going to like it. And then several years later, people are going to realize that it's funny, but we're just going to do what we think is funny.
Right.
Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer too.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That's very much in that same, that same vein.
I don't think Wet Hot American Summer made $1 million in the theaters. I think I don't think it broke $1 million. And like we've said, you watch it as sort of an afterthought and you wonder like what was in the drinking water that people just didn't respond to this. Well, yeah, like Wet Hot American Summer and Hot Rod, you get the feeling that people are seeing it as beneath them.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that the people making the movie it's a silly movie, but it's a smart, silly movie.
Well, and sometimes I wonder if that's maybe not the problem, is that like people love a silly movie and people love a smart movie. But I think a lot of times people don't like a smart, silly movie. Maybe it's like they want it to either be the dumbest, dumbed down comedy or a little bit more. I don't know. I don't know what it is about a certain movie that just people, you're right, people just miss it. And I don't know why.
I think audiences can get confused if something has elements of highbrow and lowbrow.
Right.
And like they want it to be one or the other.
Right. Like,
I don't know what this movie should be.
Right.
Not that anything in Hot Rod is highbrow, but as Guy said, it's kind of smart.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that's very well aware of what it is, but also not like sarcastic about it. You know, like there's a little more going on there, but they're not, I don't know, they don't feel the need to be wry about it, which I like. They're all kind of nice people. And they're enjoying their pleasant. You know, I realized on the rewatch that I very much, you know, I like all kinds of movies, but I very much in comedy, especially, I gravitate towards stories about friends with very low stakes. Mm-hmm. And you know, this sort of like, there's a sort of an energy that reminds me of Wayne's World, where you're not quite sure how old these people are. They're not teenagers, but they're also clearly not in their 30s. Adults. They're just in this weird middle, like ground. Yeah.
I've been tangling with that, because one of the things that happens when you're young, when you're, you know, whatever, in elementary school, is you emulate older kids who have dirt bikes and who are really into martial arts and, you know, whatever. And you're never quite sure how old they are. They
could be
years old or they could be 36. But it's that. And I figure the guys in Hot Rod, the crew, are probably about 30 years old. I figure that's what it is. And the opening of the movie, or one of the opening scenes, is Rod doing tricks on his moped in front of these like 8-year-olds who are kind of mildly confused at this old man wearing a cape doing his thing, who's obviously trying to impress them, and it's having the opposite effect. They're just kind of upset by it.
I think kids of that age know when you should have aged out of that.
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a big park in the middle of my town that everybody in the summertime would gravitate around. And there was always like the kids who were a little too old.
Yes.
Like they showed up in a car. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, vacillating between being a little bit afraid of them, but also even as an 8 or 9 year old being like, what are you doing, man?
Right.
Why don't you go hang, you know, like, what are you doing hanging out at the park with us? That's a little weird, you know?
Right. We've discussed this, but it's the kids who graduate from high school and still hang around the parking lot.
Right. That's That's not a great look.
No, and that's all Hot Rod is.
Yeah.
Hot Rod is taking that and just amplifying it to the logical extension.
It's sort of like, I don't want to progress to the next stage of my life.
Right.
I need to stay here for a bit.
Right.
Yeah. And like Mallrats is aware of it and you know, kind of wrung its hands about that. But yeah, I love that scene where he's going on a date and he's like, and you put on a shirt because you're going right, on you're a date. Right. to the date. Yeah, it's like, all right, I know this guy.
I sympathize. Like you're like, sometimes you're in those moments in life. And, you know, in my early 20s, it was like, I'm doing a really good job of being an aimless fuck up.
Yes.
So if I need to move on to the next stage, I don't know how good I'm going to be at that.
Right, but I've got this dialed in.
That scene where Rod gives up on his dreams after the film festival and everybody laughs at him. And the next scene is him in the liquor store with the shopping cart that's overflowing with booze. Like, this is how he sees adulthood. He just sees it as this failure.
You just, well, I guess I've got to go to the liquor store now.
Like several $1,000 worth of moves in his thing. That's Hot Rod. Hot Rod is, it's people in a transition who aren't transitioning out of the transition.
They're
in this weird long tunnel with no ends to it, and they're very happy with that.
They're very, and you know, the just the thing that's on their mind is the big jump and making it across those buses.
The jumps in that movie of him going into the pool are perfect. They're absolutely perfect.
Him jumping and just going straight down into the pool is, when I saw that in the theater, I loudly guffawed. Yeah, just a perfect shot. Perfect. Just blunk.
The timing of a lot of those jumps was fantastic.
Yes. Or just the whole sequence when he's doing all the different stunts to make money and just
when he's on fire at the children's the children are horrified.
It's fantastic. I also, I like his little crew of friends, like, are just like, you know, they're all just with him for the ride, because what, you know, what are they going to do? Grow up? Like,
it's not going to happen. I have a theory that I've been tangling with this part of the movie for a long time, and it hit me tonight that you have Rod, you have his stepbrother Kevin, and you have Dave, that's Bill Hader's character, and you have Rico, that's Danny McBride's character. I think this is how I'm choosing to understand this, is that Dave and Kevin and Rod grew up together, and Rico came along much later, because Rico's genuinely dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gun. When the police show up, he runs away. He beats up that guy. He has all those explosives for some reason or another.
Right.
My guess is that he's this guy who got like thrown out of the army or something and just started hanging out with these guys a few years ago.
Right. He's not one of the core members of the group.
They didn't grow up with him.
Yeah.
He's part of the crew now, but he's very different.
He's got different boundaries. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, he's got very different boundaries. But in a way, like, kind of maybe he's also, you know, I also see him as kind of the guy who will like get his hands dirty.
Oh yeah,
you know, like Dave will build the ramps. That's Bill Hader's character, correct, Dave?
Yeah,
yeah. Dave will build the ramps. You know, Rod will do the stunts. I feel like his brother maybe does the paperwork.
Yeah. He does the filming. His brother does.
He does the filming. But yeah, Rico will make the hard decisions.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking like, why would they be hanging out with this guy? It doesn't make any sense. And then I'm like, yeah, he must have just shown up a few years ago after, you know, his house arrest was over, and he just started hanging out with these guys.
Well, and that's such a thing from kid culture. I absolutely remember that. Like, there was always the one, you know, I had a crew of skateboarder friends, And, you know, we were all would skate around the city, and there was the one kid who would like throw a rock at a cop car and get us all in trouble. And he was the outlier. I always think about this. It's like the kids who were got into punk rock, but they weren't fans of punk rock. They were just fans of Gigi Allen, you know, like that energy right there. Like, I just like the guy who throws his own shit. I'm not interested in any of this other stuff.
The likelihood of me getting into a fight if I go to this show is much higher than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into this season now.
Right. Yeah. And you kind of, it's always good to be friends with that guy. Because he will take care of business when the business needs taken care of.
Yeah, there's an arm's length aspect to the relationship.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny, in my hometown, it was always like the one metalhead who was adjacent to the punk rockers, but was a little bit more violent.
Yes.
And they were always a fan. You know what the bridge band was? This is now we're moving completely off the subject, but when I was a kid, the bridge band between the punk rock kids and the metalhead kids was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Really? Not more, less than the Misfits than you would think. For some reason, the Red Hot Chili Peppers were the weird emissary band, and I'm not sure why.
Well, you couldn't find Misfits records at the time.
That's true. Yeah, so, that is true. Yeah.
To the point where when Rod is going to jump over the school buses at the end, and Chris Parnell plays the deranged owner of the AM radio station. This is something nobody ever mentions, but it's one of my favorite lines in the whole thing. He's the guy who's talking about how AM radio is going to eventually make a huge comeback, and he's sitting watching the event unfold, and he says, "This really has to be seen to be appreciated."
And that's inconvenient because I'm the AM radio guy, but man, I sure do wish that you could see what was going on right now.
His tattoo of the kid, the dual urine stream onto the television and the FM radio.
I like to imagine that he had intercourse. What? Yeah. And
further evidence that Sissy Spacek is incapable of giving a bad performance, no matter when Rod falls in the pool, and then there's that scene of him sort of pushing his moped home, and he's just drenched, and he walks into the house, and his mom runs up, Sissy Spacek runs up and hugs him, but then she immediately Their expression is so great.
Yeah. She's like, what? Yeah, it's fantastic.
My favorite bit of casting in this movie was Ian McShane as the stepfather.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, they really nailed it with him being able to bring that kind of Al Swearengen from Deadwood energy to like, in contrast to everyone else in the movie, who's such a fucking idiot.
And I like that he's the disappointed stepdad, but has an entirely reasonable reason for being kind of disappointed and underwhelmed. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And he doesn't even represent the world of adulthood. I feel like the world of adulthood is represented by Will Arnett's character. And like, who wants to be that guy?
And nobody, that's if that's what being an adult is, and I want to hang out with my friends and
right. Will Arnett's character, he just speaks exclusively in like catchphrases.
Yep.
So I like after Frank, the stepfather, has the heart attack, and he just lies on the couch all day with the blanket up around him, and he just quietly expresses his disapproval. And Rod's like, Dad, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna make you proud of me. And he's like, well, you had your chance.
It is. What's the point now?
I want to talk about the cool beans sequence.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I am a little older, so I missed you had to really set out to listen to rap music when I was growing up, because there was still the very set delineation between like rap music and punk and college rock and whatnot. But by the time, like, say you were born in 1977, which is when I'm assuming the guys in this movie were born, the characters, that stuff had been assimilated into this guy. So when he's doing like the too legit, too quit thing, the Cool Beans fits right into that. It's a little catchphrase and they remix it and they play it. And I know it's a little surreal, but at the same time, Ebenezer Scrooge shows up and the last scene of the movie and he falls down the hill for several minutes.
I had read that the Ebenezer Scrooge bit, they really fought to keep it. Like that was one where test audiences did not understand why Ebenezer Scrooge showed up. Yeah. And that's one where the filmmakers were like, no, this is funny. And it's staying in.
It's gotta stay. Yeah. And the Cool Beans thing definitely is adjacent to that sort of Tim and Eric awesome show kind of aesthetic where something sort of just happens out, you know, it out of the blue and then, and you know, is unrecognized by the characters that happen. I thought it played well. It made me laugh. You know, I liked it. I like any time where they, you know, they do any time where a movie does something risky and just stays in it, you know, like this, we're just going to do this for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, and we're enjoying it. So we'll see what happens. I'm a fan.
I definitely got the sense that the people making the movie were having a blast making it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to see outtakes, but there were no outtakes. When Will Arnett's yelling, babe, no,
babe, wait, babe.
That's just so they must have just said like we'll take it to the absolute limit of plausibility.
Yeah. Well, and I've always responded very, very well to a bit that goes on longer than it needs to, and then longer than that. I just like when he, like you mentioned earlier, when he falls down the hill. That is just my brand of funny. You know the bit that Gary Goldman does about role playing with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. on, I think it's on his special No Can Defend, mm-hmm. and he's talking about role playing as an English professor. And it just goes like, to me, minute 8 of that is when it starts to get really good. So in the spirit of that, yeah, the babe wait thing and the falling down the hill, I was just like, yeah, I understand what's happening and I'm all for it.
There's also that weird scene where Rod is giving his crew a pep talk, and in the middle of it, the pep talk is suddenly taken over by a homeless guy who you never see before or after. And Rod is very insulted that they've allowed themselves to be pep talked by a complete stranger.
Yeah. He's like, wait, this, like... Well, he's like telling what the preparations are going to be. Right. Yeah, and then all of a sudden the homeless guy's like, yeah, we're going to need 7 more shopping carts. He's like, also, you know what? Similar is the bit where it's everybody go around and say something about yourself and they all say, I like to party. That was a minute and 40 seconds too long, but by my estimation, the perfect amount of time.
Now, did you guys see Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping?
Yes, I did.
I did not like that as much as Hot Rod. I think because that movie felt to me like a movie made by successful, famous people, whereas Hot Rod felt, as I said, it felt to me like people who did not care if you liked the movie or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Hot Rod definitely has a kind of a homemade, we're making this on a shoestring thing. And it's funny because the production stuff from those guys has gotten better and better. And sometimes I think it serves it really well. Did you guys watch the Bash Brothers?
I really liked the Bash Brothers.
I thought the Bash Brothers was fucking I'm not even really that big of a fan of baseball, but I thought the Bash Brothers was fucking insanely good. But that's an example of that, you know, there's a higher production value there, but it served the purpose perfectly. Whereas I haven't seen Popstar, but I admit I wasn't, even though I knew who it was by, I've never really gone out of my way to see it.
The funny bits are very funny, but it's also like an obvious Justin Timberlake cameo playing a sushi chef, which felt just felt self-satisfied to me. Like, yeah, oh, everyone's going to know this is Justin Timberlake. Like, there's no joke there. It's just, it's Justin Timberlake.
How did they get
him? Look who we know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny because the Bash Brothers has a similar thing. There's cameos of people all over it, but it doesn't feel that way.
I think the Bash Brothers is helped by being short. It's not feature length.
Yes. And yeah. Oh, is Popstar feature length? Yes.
And the Bash Brothers is also helped by being so weird and specific in its subject matter.
Yes.
Popstar is not a confrontational movie. And Hot Rod is a deeply confrontational movie. It, you know, for it has that skateboard aesthetic of what will you tolerate?
Yeah.
Not in a mean way, but, you know, watching him just botch those tricks, those stunts, excuse me. You know it's going to happen, but it works every time.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's just as funny every time.
Is it still a thing for kids to? Well, it's a few. You're always going to emulate the older kids, but are the older kids still these, like, you know, back in the 70s, it was some kid with nunchucks who, you know, his brother had a Camaro. He didn't have a Camaro, but his brother had a Camaro or a Trans Am. And they always knew the R-rated movies and would describe them to you in great detail and whatnot. There was always this sort of like quiet outlaw quality to it. But when you look back at it, it's like, my God, these kids were deeply maladjusted. Why were we emulating them? But is it still a thing, or is
it? At least in sort of the weird liberal enclave I live in, I think kids are more overscheduled and have less time to sort of just fuck around, and that I think there's less of that outlaw quality, just because I mean it's not an entirely good thing, but I think the parents are more helicopter, like they're more involved. They're like very rarely are kids, you know, it's that dumb Facebook meme of like, we drank from the streetlights and played till the fire, till the hose came on, you know.
I'm sorry, Kevin, that was incredibly funny.
That has hurt the weird older kid who has dangerous stuff. I don't think anyone has nunchucks and ninja throwing stars in their house these days.
Because Hot Rod prides himself on his ability to differentiate the tastes of jelly beans.
Yes.
And there's a machismo to it as he's doing it.
Right, right.
And you wonder, does that still exist? Or, you know, maybe it does with video games. Or
yeah, my kids are on the young side, so I don't know. But I like, to me, there was always like these kind of vaguely dangerous older kids, in that they would introduce you to Dungeons and Dragons. And
yeah.
So Hot Rod is a movie people should see.
Hot Rod is a movie people should see. They don't make any reference to Hot Rod and his crew being nerds in high school. There's no looking back at, they don't have the yearbook with the narration over it. It's just guys who stalled when they were 13.
Yeah.
and at the end, it ends up sustaining them,
It sustains them. And you know, it's funny because I often sort of fetishize a life where I just have a group of friends and we just still hang out, you know, and walk down the street and go get Cokes, and that this movie kind of, like, you know, it's like justifies that in a way, I guess.
Well, I think everyone looks back at the times of their life that are no longer there with a certain amount of fondness. I mean, there are times where I'm like, man, before I had kids, I would get up on a Sunday and we'd go to brunch and then we'd go to a movie.
And then we'd go and get more brunch. Yeah. Kevin, I think you and I have just discovered nostalgia. is that what we're getting at now? Have we unearthed a new emotion called nostalgia?
Well, we'd be the first people of our generation to do so, Michael.
It's true. Now let's just list things from when we were
Saturday kids. Morning cartoons.
Drink from the faucet.
Thank you for listening. Our website is gleamingthetube.net. We're on Facebook at Gleaming the Tube, and our email is gleamingpod@gmail.com. Production assistance by Liam Gray. Music by Kissing Contest. Skateboarding is not a crime.
That's what I find, is the drink from the streetlight people are, you know, some things were better then, some, like, things are just different now.
It's true.
Like, the parents of the kids who drank from the streetlights didn't drink from the streetlights. Like, the Earth's billions of years old. For 40 years, things were like that.
Yeah, for 8 months, things are like that. Back when the world was in black and white, and everything was... Man, we are rambling. Yeah. Right, we're getting loose with it. I like it.
Sometimes these tangents can be edited out.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know what we're witnessing right now is we're witnessing what happens when we watched a movie we all genuinely enjoyed. Yes. We're kind of like, yeah, it was great. So anyway.
There's a few things. I watched it a week and a half ago, and I didn't take notes.
Ah, all right. Yeah.
I was enjoying it.
Perhaps it was just not necessary, mm-hmm. Kevin. You just, much like this podcast, you just let it wash over you.
Well, Guy. Yeah. Thank you for joining us to discuss
My pleasure. Rod. My pleasure. This very nice, groovy, nocturnal encounter talking about the great Hot Rod.
I like. I always forget it's late for you guys.
Yeah, it is.
I just got home from work.
Pool in this pool. That weird guy that keeps showing up that does that.
Oh man, that guy is like the lost member of Lonely Island. I think he was like part of their early crew.
And really? Then,
there's a story with that guy. Like he was sort of adjacent to that crew, but they got him to be in the movie. and he does the, what is his name? Shit. That's Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of pool, Richardson. When Bill Hader has the megaphone and it's raw.
Get out of the pool, Richardson. Yeah,
I liked hearing about how the Bill Hader getting the piece of metal near his eye is something that happened to a friend of his.
Yeah, his friend. Yeah. Well, did you? I guess that actually happened to a friend of his. And after Hot Rod came out, the friend contacted Bill Hader and was like, "Hey, did you know that actually happened to me?" And Bill Hader was like, "Yeah, I was there."
That's
why it's in the movie.
That's fantastic. He's
like a college professor now or something like that.
Well, isn't that the best thing about that kind of stuff? You have that story about your idiot friend who did a bunch of acid and almost poked his eye out, and then now he's a college professor
he's a town administrator,
father of three, and
right. I like when Andy Samberg's talking to Bill Hader, when Bill Hader calls him up and he says things are going, he says yeah, is everything okay? And Bill Hader goes, yeah everything's great. No not at all.
Not at all. Yeah. It's fantastic. Fucking A, guys.